Recording has started, Mr. Chairman, you can call us to order.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Chuck, why don't you go ahead and let's start with the roll call.
Sir, Mr. Chairman. Jagat Dusong, Krishnamurthy.
Present.
Stuart Bruner for David Byers.
Present.
Jeff Fleetham.
Present.
Tim Romer.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here.
Brian Kirkland. Eddie Cook. Chris Richardson for Lev Gonick.
Good afternoon, present.
J.R. Sloan.
Present.
Representative Nguyen. Senator Gray. Rebecca Pereira for Richard Stavnik.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum of five members.
All right, thank you, Chuck. So welcome everyone to our December edition. Appreciate everyone's time and attendance. I will do a reminder to everyone, this is a public meeting and we do follow a public meeting rule and law accordingly. If you have any comments, there is a link on the agenda to submit comments and the staff will disposition those. Without any further ado, we'll step into our agenda. And the first item of business will be approving both the recording of the November 16th meeting as well as the separate recording of the executive session minutes.
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Jiggy. I'll second.
All right. Stuart, I saw you have a hand up.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I didn't get a chance to listen to that recording of either of those. I'm going to need to abstain from the vote.
Understood. Okay. Any other commentary before we move forward with the vote? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 And any opposed? And noting Mr. Bruner's abstention. All right, thank you. We'll move into our first item for review here, which is OSPB, bringing forward a budget management system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michael Carpenter. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting, who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. The Office of Strategic Budgeting and Planning is seeking approval to upgrade the existing state budget management system. The current system is comprised of multiple applications, which make the budgeting process complex and slow to navigate. The proposed solution will speed up processing time, improve user experience, and bring the budgeting system in line with the state's cloud-first strategy. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information and answer any questions you might have. Bill, are you on?
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think we might have a little bit of an audio issue. Mr. Greeny, I don't believe we can hear you. It looks like you're speaking out of the conference room, but I don't think we can hear you.
Mr. Chairman, it looks like they're working on the issue. They're both, Bill and Jonathan from the project team there are, it looks like we're going to try and have them call in because they're having some audio issues.
All right.
Hello, can you hear us now?
Yes, we heard you.
Okay, that sounds better.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, and don't ask me what happened. We haven't used this for almost an hour. So something special happened. Getting back to the project at hand, my name is Bill Greeny. I'm the deputy director at OSPB, and I'm with Jonathan Perkins. He's going to be the project manager for this project. What we're trying to do is something we've been working on for many years. We've been running a system that's based in Microsoft Access. Part of it is operated through SQL. And what we've been trying to do is put it online so we can both make it easier for agencies to get into it, complete their task, and that it improves the security of the entire system. Now, what we found is Arizona does budgeting in a much more complicated manner than most states. And there really are no systems out there that are really usable for all states. There's probably about 6 or 7 systems that are used across the country. Some of them are very simple and don't really produce a budget book that is very usable. Others are very complicated, but they're mostly customized. The customized systems are usually along the lines of Oracle or PeopleSoft. Some of the other ones, IBARS or STARS systems, are fairly usable, but they all have to be customized. One of the problems we've run into in almost all of the systems is actually producing the executive budget books. At some point, we have to actually publish a product, and most systems aren't capable of doing that. What they publish are a series of what appear to be accounting sheets. And if you're in a city or a county, that works really well. The state, that doesn't work quite as well. So the search has been on to find some software that we can use or at least modify to serve our needs. And we think we found that. Sherpa has been doing budget systems for quite a while. You can go ahead and go on to the next slide if you want. The Sherpa system has been used in several states. Right now, they're operating some form of their systems in 8 different places. They actually run budget systems in 4 states. They specialize in budget software. They don't try to do large accounting systems. They don't try to do a lot of other things. They've been focused on budget systems. The team they have working for them have worked in budget offices, so they understand the push and pull of what needs to happen in the budget world. And they also understand the flexibility that's required when you're working for elected officials and they decide they want to make changes at any time during the process. So that's kind of what we're looking for. The system we're trying to go with is both flexible, and for the most part, they've done most of the work already. And what they need to do now is modify it to meet the needs of Arizona. So we think we're on the right track to get this done. We also have the added advantage that the people we've been working with at Sherpa were also on the team that they were working for CGI when Arizona moved their accounting systems to CGI. And we learned early on that they understand the limitations of the CGI Info Advantage tools coming out of AFIS. So we're hoping that can be used to our advantage to try to accelerate our movement to getting information out of AFIS and into the budgeting systems a lot easier. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. The Division of Labor is pretty much like you would expect. OSPB is going to be the source of what it is we actually need this product to do. What are the technical aspects of actually getting the product done? You know, when it's time to publish an executive budget or any of the other aspects associated with it, What do we really need? How do the funding mechanisms actually operate? How do we need to make the data do what needs to happen in order to publish the book? So that's going to be part of part of the process that we need to be a part of. We'll also be helping organize meetings and do all of that to make sure that the vendor can actually get the job done in a timely manner. OSPB will be responsible for making sure the product does what it's supposed to do when it's all done. So we'll be testing and reviewing it as we're finished. OSPB will also be responsible for training state agencies on how to perform inside this new system. We don't think it's going to be that difficult for state agencies. It should be easier for them to get into the system and to maneuver around inside the system. But the data and information they need to provide is still going to be the same. So to a large extent, they will be familiar with what they need to do. We just hope that it's easier for them when it's done. Of course, the vendor will be responsible for actually developing the modules and the software. They're also going to be responsible. We're requiring them to train at least 3 people in our office to be able to make changes to the system at any time along the way, so that we can maintain the flexibility. You know, you can imagine what happens if we get instructions from superiors that say, hey, we want to make sure we include X and Y in whatever we report in the budget. We want to make sure we can adapt as we go. So they're going to be training our staff so that we can make those changes when needed. But we're also going to require that the vendor be available for backup for those times when we just need additional support. So that's going to be their side of it. And there's going to be a lot of things where we have shared duties and responsibilities. This is going to be what we hope is a very collegial effort, where we work together, and while we may have expertise, they may be able to show us places where maybe we can modify what we're doing to accommodate a more efficient or an easier process for all the parties involved. So we're going to try to work together to make that all happen. Next slide. The timeline, this is a fairly accelerated timeline, and it's only made possible because they already run systems so many other places, that modifying their existing stuff to meet our needs should be able to be accomplished in a lot faster time period than what we might do if we were starting from scratch. The important time periods are we're going to start as soon as we can. And in case you're not familiar with this project, we're going to be using federal funds to do this, so the money is available right away. We're going to set it up so that we can start all of the modules that are need to be accessed by state agencies will be available for us to start training state agencies by late springtime. We're hoping for March or April, so that before we actually send this out for use by state agencies, agencies will have become familiar with it, understand what's going on, and will be able to just go in and perform their tasks when they need to. It'll be available to state agencies both by July 1st. Agencies have to submit their budget request to OSPB by September 1st. September 1st is when we're assuming that we will start to clock on the internal systems at OSPB. Once agencies provide us with all their information and data is when we start developing the executive budget. The systems that are being used by state agencies, think of them as feeder systems. It's where we collect a lot of data. In-house, we take all of that data and add it to everything else we have and put it together to try to determine what the executive budget should be. Those internal processes and the systems involved there, we need to have them ready by September 1st. SHRPA has assured us they think they can do that. And judging by the way they've approached the project, we believe that can happen. The important thing is we have to publish an executive budget the first part of January. So that's a serious deadline. we do have a fallback position in case something collapses and it doesn't work. We still have our existing systems in place in case we need to fall back on that. But the idea is we won't have to. We will be able to publish in the new software, and it should be fine. Next slide. That's the cost of this. The development is roughly just over $1 million, about $1.5 million. And then there's about an ongoing cost every year after that for keys, licenses, and maintenance of the system. Federal funding is going to pay for this thing all the way through fiscal 27. Between now and then, we're going to have to determine how we're going to pay for the ongoing costs after that. But that's 4 years off at the moment. We should be able to come up with solutions by then. Next slide. Measuring success. This shouldn't be rocket science. The system has to do what we want it to. It's got to be easier for agencies, analysts, all the users. It should be easier for them to access and to use it. We need to have more dependable transfer of data. We also want it to be more efficient. Along the way, our hope is that this will be the foundation for improvements we can make to the system for additional efficiencies. The tool doesn't directly connect to the accounting system in this phase of the project, but over time, we hope that we can. The system set up so that we can make those adjustments, but that's not part of the project at the moment. But we're hoping we can get there because that would be a major step forward. We also have set up the system so that with only minor adjustments, agencies can use this same system internally for actually managing their budgets over time as they progress through a particular year. So it's not just for developing the next year's budget, it's also for managing the budget within the agency as time goes on. And frankly, the biggest hurdles to doing that are not in the IT system world. It has more to do with how agencies and directors view their budgets and how they manage their accounting. So those are things we have to work out along the way. But getting the new IT system in place for budgets, for budget requests and budget adoption is a real step in the right direction that'll make the next pieces possible. Next slide. Okay, I'm ready to hear what you want to hear about. I've told you what we think the project is going to do. There's probably lots and lots of questions about all of the details, and we'll answer whatever we can.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I will open up to the committee for questions at this time. Go ahead, Director Fleetham.
Yes. Thanks, Bill. Great presentation. So I have this right. It looks like your system, this new system you're talking about, at some point down the road, an agency will be able to adopt this system to use as their own budget management system. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
Yes. And in fact, if an agency wanted to pursue that, they could probably do it really soon. Gotcha. But doing it statewide for all agencies might take some more steps. But the same way that agencies use Buddies right now for tracking budgets, they could also use this system the same way, except I think it'll be easier.
And that would make it a seamless transfer of information back and forth between OSPB and the agency, correct?
Yes, that's what we think will happen.
That's a great thought, by the way. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Chris, go ahead.
Hi. If that were to happen, would there be additional costs for those licenses? Or, because I don't think that was budgeted, but I missed that.
The system itself is as we've got it priced right now, we'll do that stuff.
Oh, great.
The hard part for us is to figure a way so that each agency can use it in the way that best serves them. because you can imagine every agency tells us they're different and they're unique. And we try not to go down that path right away. But by the time we're done, we find out every agency has its own nuances. So we have to kind of contour it to make sure it can work for all of them. The other thing is that there are some agencies that are not in the state accounting system. So we have to be able to accommodate all of those agencies where the source of information is really somewhere else.
Right, but I think the key is if you can figure out how to make them fit, I want to add additional costs. I did have one additional question. I think a key part of your assumptions is that other states that have moved this direction that you all have, or we, the state has a similar environment, so that your assumptions are correct, because that's kind of the big risk is that if they're not, then there's more cost. How did we baseline like the environment that we'd be migrating to the ones that did, just so your assumptions and your timelines and your costs are accurate?
The what we did with like in this case Sherpa, we basically sat down and walked through every detail of everything we have to do, and what they priced was doing what we needed in detail. So we weren't trying to actually take something from another state and modify it. We just started with, here's what we absolutely need, and what would it take you guys to build that? And we left it to them to figure out which other states' models they could morph into our stuff faster. So we didn't try to really do it for other states. To give you an idea on the differences, there are states where the feed bill is their entire budget system. It's very simple, and in at least one case, they only have three funds in the bill. They have general fund, highway fund, and a different miscellaneous fund. In Arizona, we publish just over 1,100 funds, and the law says we have to examine them to the same level of detail as the general fund. Well, that changes the environment of what we have to do. And because we use so many service fees and user fees, those funds become really important. And as soon as you have user fees, the people that are paying those fees are going to want to know what's going on with their money. So it's important that we're able to trace all that through all of the pieces of the budget. So those are the kinds of things that make us a little unique, but as long as we can do that, we're fine. And we explained to the people at Sherpa what we had to do. And because they had a little bit of a budget background, they understood what we were talking about. And we were fairly careful to make sure that what we thought they heard is what they're really pricing.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Stuart. Stuart, you're muted.
Paying the mute tax, sorry. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Greeny. I think it is wise to have that fallback to the existing systems. Can you give me a sense of what the cost to agencies would be if this project, the mods and the timeline for those mods doesn't get you to the executive budget due date? What does that mean to the agencies that contribute to that process?
It probably doesn't mean too much to the agencies, except frustration that the new one's not available. The content of what has to be put in your budget request will be the same. So whether you're putting it into Buddies or into the new system, the data download will probably be pretty close to the same. In fact, there are some agencies that have automated the input into Buddies. So they've really minimized how much work it takes to put this stuff into Buddies. We're assuming the same process will be available in the new system. Of course, we won't know that until we test it to be sure. I'm not always very happy with new systems until I see them fully loaded and running, because they I've seen too many promises. So I think once we find out for sure that it works, the fact that they've been able to do it other states gives me hope. But there shouldn't be a lot of downside for agencies other than just getting direction on which form to put all the data in.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I could follow up, that was the real root, I think, of my question is, will agencies be asked to do this twice, once in Buddies and then, you know, once in the new system based on the progress that's made?
Man, I sure hope not. The, you know, we'll either know it works by late spring or not. The only thing that will probably change between late spring and August is the fact that we have 120 agencies loading it in August, and in late spring, we'll probably be testing it with a handful. That's the only difference I could see happening. But whether it works for one agency should be really clear by March or April.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Bill, I got a question for you. In terms of, you know, I definitely saw on the timeline, you've got kind of like two key deliverables, one to hit that July timeframe for the budgeting cycle, and then obviously the, you know, production of the budget book, which is the your real crucial one. From a project management perspective, how are you approaching you know, project management? And are you, what are you tracking in terms of, I'll say, key metrics to know that you're on track for those?
There's a little bit of overlap, because as they're developing the system for what agencies have to supply us, will also be part of the track that we're going to use internally for publishing the executive budget. So there's some overlap, and I don't know exactly what kind of milestones we've got in place. The we've viewed this as, you think of the current systems we have for Buddies, AZIPS, and CLIF that agencies have to fill out. We've been viewing them as separate blocks, but they're different building blocks for the same system. So I've always thought of it as, okay, they will do one module for the budget side, which is Buddies. They'll do another module for the program budgeting side, which is AZIPS. And another module for the federal funds, which is CLIF. We've been viewing that as separate modules of the same larger picture, but we haven't actually, I don't think we've built in milestones for saying finish one before you finish the others, but they have to finish all of them.
Okay, understood. I also noticed, you know, you got the agency training that starts in that kind of April timeframe. Well, that is the, does you understand that training is going to take place on, I'll say whatever the in-flight developed version of the system is? Is that going to be a point where you're starting to get some runtime with agencies using the system and be able to collect some feedback? Is that the intent there, or does the system really need to be ready at that training point?
We think the system will be ready then.
Okay.
So, you know, the worst case scenario is we can only show pieces and parts, but the plan is for it to be ready so they can actually have at it then. It won't have been distributed to agencies, but we will have a live model for them to work on while they're training.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Director Fleetham. I'm sorry, Jeff, you're muted.
Excuse me, pardon me. When you go, I've been trained by my staff to mute myself whenever possible, so I apologize. So Mr. Greeny, is it, when you get ready to work with the agencies, are you gonna be working with all the agencies, or are you gonna be, you're gonna be choosing agencies you wanna work with? Because if you are, I'd like to raise our hand. We're always a first adopter. We'll be glad to take a look at it right off the bat.
Well, volunteers are always welcome. Now, we're going to be training everybody, mm-hmm. but of course, we'll probably be judicious in who we do first, just in case we run into a hiccup and need help.
Okay.
I'll put you on the list.
Okay. Don't tell my staff. Yeah. Okay. I'll surprise them. Merry Christmas.
All right. Any other questions or from the committee? All right. I think we can turn it back to Michael then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the PIDGE be approved with the conditions as presented.
So moved. All right, these are the standards. Correct. So, any questions on the conditions, folks? All right, if there are no questions on the conditions, I will take a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Director Romer. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Fleetham. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, that's a unanimous approval. Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Great presentation. I appreciate the thoughtful approach, and I'm excited to see OSPB moving forward to modernize the budgeting process in this way. Good luck with the project, guys. Okay, our next item up on our agenda here is, we're skipping DES. It's the informational update from the courts. So over to that team.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Haley Greenberg. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined today by members of the Administrative Office of the Courts. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their state appellate court CMS replacement project.
Thank you, Haley. I'm Diana Hagee. I'm the senior project consultant on the replacement of the legacy system for the Arizona Supreme Court and the Arizona Court of Appeals Division I. And we have engaged with Journal Technologies as our vendor. And Jason is on the line as well. And so is our CIO, Carl Heckert. Change slides. Just as a reminder, the court asked for ASSET to approve the original PIDGE in 2018. The project started in 2019. The solution replaces a 20-year-old custom-developed appellate case management system that was based in PowerBuilder. And as you all can imagine, we really need a replacement as quickly as we can get one. And the eCourt software is integrated, and it will modernize the work processes for both courts. The original PIDGE had a go live date of June of 2021. We asked for an extension for a new go live date of January of 2023. And we will be returning in February of 2023, as our current go live date will be beyond the January 2023 end date. Next slide. The project has made substantial progress, and some of our major accomplishments since the last project update is that we've really collaborated with the ASSET team. We have refocused our energies on a three-month focus plan so that we could establish key velocity metrics. And what we accomplished, you'll see later in the project, but it really has made a difference in our velocity. We just lifted items out of the original project plan and focused on those items for this three-month period. And we've also implemented some improved joint sprint planning and communication so that we're really focusing on the critical path items to try to move this project forward. We have added Supreme Court and Court of Appeals resources. Some of the key critical path items in this project include the rules forum, and that has progressed nicely. Arizona Supreme Court orders have progressed nicely, and so have the Arizona Supreme Court workflows. All of those have progressed during this three-month period, and the collaboration between JTI and the Court of Appeals on the Court of Appeals orders has progressed, and we've made nice progression on the e-filing and SharePoint interfaces, and progressed with the calendaring for the Court of Appeals, progressed with our on-base integration, and finally, we've completed a CCR interface specification so that JTI can now start the development on the CCR interface. Next slide. So the overall health card for the project is red, and the request will come back to this committee for a change request in 2023. February of 2023, we're predicting. We'll also have a contract amendment that will accompany the change request. We have, as I mentioned earlier, we have really focused on the three-month plan to validate our velocity and to use that velocity to drive the baseline to our new project plan, which we will be presenting to you in February. And with our new metrics, I think we'll be able to ensure a go live date for the next change request. The contract is fixed in terms of the budget, and we will start some discussions on whether there'll be any potential for change. If so, we'll include that in a change request. There are the risk that we've always had in the project. The software is flexible and extendable. The courts really, to modernize their work progress, really have extensive workflows and documents and searches that are needed. We have many integrations, including e-filing and CCR interfaces. And the other risk is that, as much as I have appreciated collaborating with you all, this will be my last ITEC meeting. And Carl has hired a new project manager to replace me as I move off into retirement. So those are the risk, and the issues are still, you know, the bandwidth due to our parallel project phases and competing resources. And, you know, we are continuing to work out items that are delivered, whether they're change requests or whether they are clarifications to statement of work. So we're getting clarity on those items, and you know, our overall communication has improved greatly. Next slide. So these are just task-driven sprints, and in our focus plan, we meet jointly to discuss which items will be assigned to which area, either JTI, the Court of Appeals, or Arizona Supreme Court in each sprint. And we identify those items before the sprint, and then we focus on those during the sprint, and then we have a sprint retrospective at the end. And so you can see that in each of the sprints, we've been able to complete the majority of the items for JTI. So you can see that there are a couple of items that we've missed, and that's and it is because it's the size of the task sometimes and dependencies in other times. So for example, in each sprint, we want to be able to configure 10 documents and test 10 documents. And in this particular sprint, we only managed to get eight completed. And the same, it's the same issue with the orders for the Court of Appeals. And the civil initiation briefing workflow is a work in progress. We needed to add a sprint. We've added a couple sprints to finish that work up. So that's what counts for the difference. Next slide. Same items here in each sprint. This is for the Supreme Court, the number of tasks that they had to complete and the numbers that were completed. Here again, we only tested 8 of the documents, and we couldn't complete our conflict management workflow testing because we identified a bug in the process, and we have had some just some lag on our data conversion testing. All of this is a point in time, and we are now currently caught up with our documents, and we'll be delivering the conflict management testing results by Friday, and we'll add a sprint for our data conversion. Next slide. Same thing for Court of Appeals. We still are working through some final requirements on the Court of Appeals workflows. We will be delivering the captions testing tomorrow, and the data conversion will add another sprint. So you can see that there's, you know, good success in the number of tasks that have been added to each sprint and in the tasks that have been completed in each sprint in our focused sprint plan. Okay, next slide. This is a graph that shows all of the goals that we wanted to accomplish by January the 17th. And that is the end of our focus plan, our 3-month focus plan. We have our current items, where we're currently at, and then where we're projected for the deployment on and for projected for deployment as of January the 17th. And so in each of the items, we have the case structure. We're currently at 85% complete. We anticipate it'll be 95% complete. Financial structure, 85% complete. We anticipate it'll be 95% complete. The rules forum is 85% complete. We anticipate 95% complete. And I don't really need to read the rest of this slide to you, but you can see that we are able now to accurately project the current status, and based upon our current velocity, we'll be able to also meet many of the goals that we set out during this focus plan. Some of the goals are large, and some of them are easy to quantify. You know, like for example, if we say we want to finalize 50 documents, that's easy to measure. Some of the other items are not quite as easy to measure, but we do feel like that these projections are solid for our January 17th goal. Next slide. This is just a snapshot of one of the metrics that we previously provided, and it, I think, will demonstrate some of the progress that we've made in the last 3 months. In July, you can see that for workflows, we had 3 complete, and in December we have 14 complete, and that is a major lift on JTI and the Supreme Court. Next slide. So the court will return in February of 2023 with a new change request to extend time. And we'll be prepared at that time to have a fully vetted new project planned and a contract amendment. And that concludes my presentation. We're open for questions.
All right, thanks, Diana. I'll open it up to the committee for questions. A couple of items, Diana, I'll go ahead and ask would be, in terms of the transition plan from you to the new PM, how much overlap is going to exist there?
Mr. Chairman, the new project manager will start on Monday, and my last day is the last day of January, so we have about 5 weeks.
Okay, all right, that's a healthy amount of time. That's good. The other, just a couple of observations. I noticed kind of the significant misses on the focus plan outcomes. Both seem to occur during the week of Thanksgiving. Do we not plan for the fact that folks were going to be out and probably just having less folks available, you know, work during that time period? Asking that question, looking into what we have planned here in December, right? Knowing that a lot of folks have time to burn towards the end of the year. So we've been overly, I'm concerned that we might maybe have been aggressive in what we think we can achieve.
Mr. Chairman, that's a great observation. That did impact the sprint. We have made up our deficits, and so we're on target now, and we have sprint planning tomorrow for sprint 85, and we will, and 86, and we will consider the time off for our team members and JTI in our next sprint.
Okay. All right, those are my questions. Anyone else? Go ahead, Rebecca.
Thank you. And mine's just more of a comment. I know that the funding mechanism for this project expires at the end of fiscal year 2023. So I would just encourage you to work with OSPB in getting that extended in next year. I think earlier discussions make easier for potentially lengthy sessions.
Thank you.
Oh, I had one more question, Diana. If we can go to the deliverable metrics slide, which I think is just one back. In terms of, I mean, I do see, you know, obviously progress kind of left side to right side, but does that also progress from the bottom up in terms of, you know, totals? I'm trying to make sure I understand, how items move from in, is the progression from in progress to system test to configured and ready and complete? And so if we add those numbers up, that's kind of the total number of outstanding items, or I'm trying to understand context. Are there items outside of that total that aren't represented here yet?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. That's a good question. There are a total of 122 workflows. And we have 4 in progress, 25 that are in either system testing or issue resolution, 30 that are pending testing and or need a little rework with configuration, and 14 that are complete. So they do progress, right? They do progress through the different statuses, and there are more statuses than this, but this is really kind of a simple way to kind of take a look at it. So the first step, of course, is for the court to provide the requirements. The second step is for those requirements to be groomed. The third step is for there to be some configuration and a demonstration. The next step is to have a testing story and a testing board, and then the testing occurs, and then the workflow is back and forth between testing and issue resolution until everyone is happy. Once everyone's happy, we move it to complete. And our definition of complete is it can be deployed tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so I think trying to do some in my head math, it looks like if we add all the numbers in any one of those columns, they add up to your total number of requirements.
That's true.
Okay.
If you include the bottom ones too.
Yeah. I understood there'd be no math during the meeting today.
All right. That's it for me. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I have just one more question. I may have missed it because there was math, and that's probably why I missed it. So, Chairman Sloan mentioned asked some questions about the workload over the Thanksgiving time. I may have missed that. You've taken into consideration the workload, the staffing issues over the Christmas and New Year's holiday, where people are taking off there as well, right?
That's right.
And trying to come up with this completion?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Director. Anyone else? Last call. All right. Thank you, Diana, and I appreciate the update, and we certainly wish you well as you move towards retirement, but I know you got a 5-week last push in front of you, so thanks for sticking that out.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We wish you and the team good luck with this, and we look forward to hearing about things again in February.
Thank you.
All right. That draws our agenda to a close today. Our next planned meeting is January 18th. Thank you all again for your time today and wish you a happy holidays and a very merry new year. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, team, go ahead and stop the presentation and turn off the recordings and the live streams. All right.